Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the mile at Syracuse to the bull rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman.
Hey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the latest edition of Lowdown and Dirty. I'm very close to kicking the captain's butt right now because he didn't unmute my mic after I told him several times. I apologize for the delay.
And I'm looking at him like a jerk, like, what's going on?
Yeah, like, yeah, unmute me. Okay. Of course, to my right, as always, Whip is stoked up tonight, and of course the captain is here joining us. The queen could not be with us again tonight due to some prior obligations, but we want to send her a shout out and thanks for all that she does for us. Got a pretty big show tonight. We are right here at the Bandits Public House and Inn, right here in lovely downtown Bechtelsville, Pennsylvania.
Brilliant.
We've got some visitors in the house. Hey guys, how are you?
We got people. We got fans.
Fans. Imagine that. We got a pretty big show. Whips up against the chip here. We got a pretty impressive guest here tonight. Another Mr. Brian Clawson will be our guest at the 9 o'clock hour.
The Bullet.
The Bullet. Whip's been ramming and jamming for the past hour here, man. He couldn't wait to get the show started. But we got a lot of results and stuff to go over too. We've got lots of races left to go.
Heck yeah.
How are you doing tonight, Scotty?
I'm doing fine. We had a good weekend, you know. Put 2 days of work in already. Well, at least I went in, you know. So we're here tonight.
Always, we get treated like kings here, man. This is awesome. Here at the Bandits Public House.
Everybody gets treated like a king or queen when you come in here. They do a nice job.
They do. Very nice. If you haven't been out here to the Bandits Public House, then you got to stop on by and check the place out. Tons of beer, tons of food. Great food.
Whip, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing ready. I'm super.
Whips up against it, man.
He's ready to go, man.
He's ready to go. He wants to get through these results.
Yeah.
And get to the Bullet.
This is huge. I mean, we haven't. Brian Clawson is an Indian. Oh, first of all, I have to give a shout out to Billy Pouch Sr. I called to try to hook him up for the show, but he called a little late. So he did return my phone call. And I just want to say thank you, Mr. Pouch. And we will be hooking up with him in a couple weeks.
And congratulations to Mr. Billy Pouch on win number 700 this past weekend.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Unbelievable feat.
And a track championship. All in one.
Not a bad weekend for that.
Who is this guy?
I have no idea.
Know? Yeah.
But his son posted earlier this week that not many guys get 700 starts, let alone 700 wins. And that's
all
that. How true is that?
That's true. I mean, Billy Pouch, I mean, I got friends. They razz me hard, but you know what? I don't care.
You got to respect talent.
Yes. It's there, and you have to enjoy it. And I've seen a lot of them wins. So.
Yeah.
That's huge. So. And Big Diamond had to close out the season.
Did. They finished out on Sunday.
And the 1C won.
The championship.
The championship. And
yes, they did.
And Mimi won the last feature of the year.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Mimi and Harvey and the entire 88D crew.
Hope he's coming back next year.
I hope so.
Yep.
Tough runner, man.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Like Whip said, Mimi DeSantis did take the checker flag laurels in that event. He was followed by Craig Von Doren for second. Frank Cozy was third. Doug Manmiller was fourth. And Brett Cressley was fifth. Car was Cozy in, Whip.
That 357 car. And rumor has it he's going to the Short Track Nationals in that car, too.
Well, there you have it.
At 5 Mile Point on October 12th for Brett Dale's special.
There you go. Well, so, congratulations to Mr. Craig Von Dorn for picking up the 358 Modified Championship 2 years in a row at Big Diamond Speedway. Also, a huge congratulations to Jared Umbenauer for picking up the Sportsman 20-lap feature win and the USS Hockey Sportsman Championship. So, he had a pretty good year, the kid did.
Two championships?
Not a bad season at all. Kevin Beach finished a strong second. He had a great couple runs here at the end of the year.
2 weeks in a row he's been a bridesmaid after he tried knocking the fence, the flagpole down.
Yeah. Doug Kennedy was third. Andrew Cozy was fourth. And Wayne Whitmer was fifth. Shout out to my buddy Wayne Whitmer for pulling out a top five there to end out the season.
Mm-hmm.
How about that Road Runner, Whip?
Road Runner. Chris Holland.
He was followed by Sean Elk. Jeremy Becker was third. Fourth is Jim Cost. Fifth is Kobe Sykes. Street Stocks also ran a 20-lap feature. Mike Walls picked up the checkered flag. He was followed by Jeff Haig. Justin Hollinger, Jason Gieseman was fourth, and Eric Tripp was fifth. As we said before, Craig Von Dorn did pick up the points for the 2013 ZY Pyrotechnics 358 Modified. Jared Umbenauer did pick up the USS Hockey
Championship.
The Roadrunner broke standing. The Savage 61 Roadrunner points. Brzezowski was your winner there. Mike Wall
picked up.
Delivery Street Stocks
standings for the 2013 season.
So congratulations to all the champions for 2013. Congratulations to Jake and Jasmine Smalling for getting it done this year. They did a great job. Great job promoting. And all the success for 2014 as well.
Whip, you there with us? Whip.
All right. Am I back?
You're back. You're back. You were never gone.
I got terrible audio. That was. I was like,
you were panicking over there. Jeez.
Yeah.
Just relax.
He's not going to relax until Clausen picks up the phone at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, he's a little worried about that, I think.
That's huge, man.
He's going to go right to voicemail. He's going to go right to voicemail.
Yeah. It'll be a serious panic. I'm not ready for that.
No. Hey, here's some sad news. Deweese and Hefner racing part ways.
I don't think they had the year they were expecting.
No, there were some struggles there.
You know,
they both admit it.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting who Mr. Hefner brings out or puts in the 27 car.
We've had a slight debate over that prior to the show.
Yes. I think he should be a local guy.
We think he should pull somebody in from elsewhere.
No. No.
There's a lot of good quality pilots around here, let's face it, right? There's a lot of good quality stuff, you know. We, you know, should put one of these young bucks in there. You know, that would be nice.
I don't know. I don't know.
We shall see.
Well, who do you think the running candidates are? You know, like Leppo?
Hodnett for sure. And then probably Leppo would be a second.
Yeah.
I mean, why not Stevie Buckwalter?
You know, I was thinking of him.
You know?
Wouldn't the kid deserve
a shot at good stuff.
Yeah.
But then he also said last week that he was trying to do that USAC thing, so.
Yeah, he's got his mind set on going.
He's going
USAC racing
midget.
Next year in that midget, but, you know, if Mr. Hefner comes up to you and offers you that ride, what do?
You stay home and you take
stay
it.
Home.
You know?
Yeah.
No. It'd be interesting. I mean, you know whose name starts kicking around and he's coming out for the Williams Grove National? Sheldon Hodenchild. You know?
Another good one.
Mm-hmm. So, there's some names out there. There's some shoes, but we'll have to wait and see. Some guy named Billy Pouch picks up career win number 700.
And a track championship.
Yes. In the first feature, they had twin 20s.
Single or double points?
They made it single. You know, they won. They were. Don't even get me started on the single double stuff. You know, I don't make the decisions there. Where's Nick?
We needed Nick on this deal here. There was a lot of controversy this week over the single versus double points. Some say it was announced as double points. Some say it was announced as single points. It ended up being a single point deal, even though there was twin features.
On the schedule, double points. And they printed them out way before the end of the season.
Well, that's how it got.
Just saying.
Don't be hating. Just how it got.
Hey, in the second feature, it was Gary Butler over Billy Pouts Jr. Rocco Infante. That's such a cool name.
That is a cool name.
Yeah. And here's a surprise. Fourth place, Doug Madmill.
Good run for Doug down at New Egypt. Good to see him traveling around, getting out there a little bit.
Getting ready. And then Neil the Wheel was fifth. So, good run for them. Hey, you want to own a driving school, Joe? Joe Adams Driving School?
No, I think it should be the Whippy Whitman Driving School.
Because apparently Mr. Billy Pouch is ready to just show up with his mind.
Just kind of wants to instruct. Give
his 700
wins worth of knowledge he wants to share.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in buying the Billy Pouch School of Driving, it is for sale. So contact him at BillyPouchRacingSchool.com, and I'm sure you can put a bid in and get your own deal going.
No longer got to be a fence race for that.
Nope.
You can go for it.
Kind of an odd deal here with Hagerstown. Hagerstown was postponed last year. And they finally got to complete that race. Exactly 11 months and one day later.
We're fine.
So congratulations to Don Kreis Jr. And Brickman.
Either Jason Jr.
The eight-foot man. Not sure what kind of crowd they had. Oh, with Greg Savage. I wasn't sure about the crowd. But it was down here to that show.
Nope. I was just doing strokes out of it. Huh?
Yeah. We're getting a little feedback from the bar here, aren't we, Whip?
Dude, I'm getting crushed. Getting pounded. Hey, can I give a shout out to Ryan Watt?
Yeah, he gets the clap. He gets the clap.
He deserves the clap. You know? Because he picked up his first career championship at Bridgeport Speedway.
He's just been a solid racer all year. And in my opinion, I think Ryan has just really developed into his own racer, and he's just a clean racer. He's fast every week. He's well prepared and justly served. Not only that, he's been a friend of Low Down and Dirty right here. He's been on before, so makes it a little bit special for us. But the whole Watt clan, as I call them, is just a great group of people. And congratulations to everybody besides Ryan and Leslie and Logan for picking up the championship. But they got a real hard-working crew that is very dedicated and been with Ryan for many, many years. So I'd like to congratulate all those guys and girls for helping out and doing all the things they do. And hopefully 2015 brings another one.
What do we have at this?
All kind of stuff at Linda Speedway.
Linda Speedway.
Yeah, Linda Speedway. Saturday night.
Saturday night.
They had the Linden Valley 100. 100 laps of sheer viewing pleasure of flank shots. And huge congratulations to the Brett Beaver for picking up the win. Just followed by Mark. That's the third was 77 Alex. Josh Stallford for 55. Yes, he wants to be 55. The Leon Gruber Memorial for the 600 modifies. Good race. Unfortunately, our buddies from KYF Motors pursued with the word part of there. Have a great night.
but Richie Hitler picked up the win. He was caught by Nick Baby. Aaron Bowes was third, Will Leeson was fourth, and Jonathan Pepe was fifth. World of Outlaw action at Fremont Speedway in Fremont, Ohio. I really wish Scotty was mic'd up right now because I want him to announce who won Fremont, Ohio for the World of Outlaws. None other than Donnie Schott picked up the $10,000 win, followed by Brian Sabetta was third, Del Lady was fourth, Jack Haldenfield was fifth. Once you get very, very excited there, Pittman is leading over Schott by just 52 points. 52. That's it.
I mean, that's close.
Very.
Here comes the nap.
Who always wins at Williams Grove?
He's not over. He's the veteran.
Yeah, he's. Damn, you know, love him or hate him, man, Schott is tough wherever he goes.
Really is.
Hey, Saturday night, I want to go.
I heard stuff super, super fast and just made them all look stupid. Passed them like they were on jack stands.
Yep. Blaine Hybok is second, but actually third. So you got credit. Came over to play.
I can't believe my mind that he was a little light.
Yeah.
Eh, it happens sometimes, even to the best of the best.
And Rock Zerbach was third, and Aaron was fourth, and Mark Smith was fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Marsh was sixth. Davey Franek. For some reason, that's better.
Our audio sounds much better now, whatever they did there.
I don't know what you guys did, but oh my God, that's way better. Thank you. Chew. Way better. Way better. The tune up for the Grove.
My computer.
Yeah. Put a little bit closer, Whip. We're having a little bit technical difficulty. You guys are just going to have to bear with us here a little bit.
All right.
Out there in technical world.
Sorry.
All right.
It'll all be good for the 9 o'clock hour, Whip.
Thank God.
When the bullet's on.
I'm going to make that nice.
Come on, you're gonna be fine, buddy.
Yep. My computer sounds like I just powered down.
Right. Picks up the win.
This is what's cool. Picks up the win over Ryan Smith.
Yeah.
Which is teammate.
Awesome. Pricey's been having a heck of a month here, man.
Yeah.
He's been doing real well.
He won the Tuscan 50 to start out.
How crazy would it be for him to win this coming weekend?
Low and slow, baby.
Low and slow, bottom feeding, left turn signal on.
Fishing it all weekend long. You know? So I think Krejci got a setup for the Nationals. Unfortunately, Mr. Fred Gramer finished 22nd. I believe he popped the motor. So
it happens.
That kind of shakes up the points a little bit.
A little bit.
With Greg Hodgson and Freddie Gramer. Brett Mark, Lance DeWeese, Donnie Kreitz, Jr. fifth. Ryan Smith is in the top 30, 10.
35-point difference between first and second.
Good math, Joe. Good math. You're quick. You did good in math, didn't you? You're good.
Bad for a kid my size, huh?
You're pretty big, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Hey,
who won out of Lawrenceburg, Indiana, at Lawrenceburg Speedway, Whip?
Some guy named Brian Croissant.
You know,
try that again.
Here's a funny thing about Brian Clausen that we talked about earlier. We didn't realize that this kid, and I'm going to use that as a loose term there, is only 23 years old.
Yeah.
I got stuff in my refrigerator older than that, dude.
Yeah, I got t-shirts that are older than that. I guarantee it.
And it's like you said earlier, we've been hearing his name for so long.
You
think he's 30, 35 years old. You know what I mean?
It's
he's
incredible.
23.
He's 23 years old. You know? He was, the AMSOIL USAC Midget Sprint Car. out of Lawrenceburg, Indiana. And if you've never been to Lawrenceburg, you must go there. State-of-the-art facility.
So I hear.
Beautiful. Crossing over to State Rocket, People's Champ Dave Darling, Kevin Thompson Jr., Dustin Grant. Top.
Up at the Fonda Speedway, freezing closed out a top 10 win season with a $9,500 payday. He was followed by Ronnie Johnson, Mark Kozlowski, Brett Hearn, and Bobby Varin for the 100-lap modified feature.
That's M&M.
The M&M.
Stuart Friesen. And then, you know, Super Dirt Week's coming.
Yeah, it's only a few days away.
A few days away, and it's just, well, it actually is next. This weekend, they race at Fulton, and then the next
weekend is the big show.
Super Dirt Week. So now, Brewerton and Dirt have finally said, have kind of like said, okay, let's work together now.
Yeah.
They've kind of like patted each other on the butt and said, good game.
Yes, they did.
And so now we got, you know, no conflict in racing, you know, so the fans can go enjoy all the racing and not have, well, I don't want to go to that track because of this track. So his hat's off to Dirt, or not Dirt, but World Racing Group and the folks at Brewerton Speedway. And, you know, so it's kind of like the same routine at Syracuse. You know, you got Rolling Wheels, and you're going to have Brewerton, and small blocks at Rolling Wheels. And then it's going to be good.
Ton of racing. We definitely wish all the...
Here.
Yeah, I know. We definitely wish all the competitors, owners, and fans a great week next week up at Syracuse.
Did you do any cars for Syracuse?
This year I did not.
No?
No.
Okay,
no.
Just curious.
It's a very expensive adventure to go to Syracuse, and it's getting fewer and fewer that are going.
Mm-hmm. You know why? They're staying an hour shorter and going to Brett Dale's Short Track Summer National. That's what they're doing.
Many of them do. You'll see that by the amount of entries that he gets for that show.
Last year, he had 78 cars.
It's a lot of freaking cars, man.
For a quarter-mile, five-mile point speedway.
Huh? It's a ton of cars.
Mr. Dale.
He has a good problem. Where to park everybody.
Yeah, where to put them.
Mm-hmm. That's not a bad problem to have.
Area. It's not going to work if you're going to get 80 cars.
No.
You know?
No.
Five-mile point, we're going to have to expand.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because... it's Brett Dale's Short Track Nationals.
Sixth edition of the Short Track Nationals.
Is it 16?
Six.
Huh?
Six.
Six, yeah. Five of them at that 5 mile point. The first one was at Afton.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Good memory.
Like a computer chip with that stuff.
Sharp as a tack. Hey, don't forget, we still have one more race at the Grandview Speedway this
Thunder
season.
On the hill.
It's the Halloween party. 358 modified URC Sprint, Sportsman, ARDC Midgets, Legends, plus the Monster Smash Demolition Derby. Pretty big event. You want to enter the Demolition Derby, Whip?
With what?
Jack somebody's car in the parking lot or something.
They're all pretty good out there, you know? There's
have to use your truck. Your truck's... Your truck's kind of on its last legs there a little bit, bro.
Hey, Casio. That's a plug for Casio. 2,100 for a head gasket or $21.
You picked the $21.
Oh, now we're going to have to last another couple.
I really think you should enter the Demolition Derby. And don't forget the Blast from the Past and Garden State Vintage Cars and Vince's Towing Owner's Race will be on the lineup there. The Owner's Race is always fun.
Yeah, I'm interested in that one. I wonder if they'll let me run the 600 modified.
Well, I mean... Technically, they shouldn't, but just because it's you, they probably should.
You know?
You look good out there getting run over by 358 modified.
The KYS.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I have to call Tina up, ask her. Actually, I got to call Mrs. the big T.
You probably should, yeah.
I have to ask her.
You should.
She'll just shake her head.
They should just let you do it just because that's an extra 200 fans in the seats right there.
Oh, I guarantee you. Bring some bullets.
Yeah. You're a freaking legend, dude.
Yeah.
You went out a rookie, come home as a legend that night.
I'm talking to a bullet later.
Yes, we are at the 9 o'clock hour.
Bullet to a bullet.
You got that conversation, bro.
Hey, are you going to the Nationals?
I don't think so.
No? No?
That's probably why,
I'm not going.
I don't like to go wherever Captain goes.
Yeah.
You're not, just as far away as possible.
Because it's here.
It is here. $50,000.
Saturday night, World of Outlaws Sprint Car sanctioned event.
The 25-lap preliminary race on Friday pays $8,000.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen some crazy stuff happen on that night. And I've seen some crazy stuff happen during the Williams Grove Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Kinzer spun out Keith Kaufman. He had to apologize on national television because he spun Keith Kaufman out. That was bad. You know? So.
What a huge racing weekend that is out there. Just the amount of campers that are out there, the fan count, the cars. I mean, it's the best of the best of the best.
You know what's even crazier? You know what else is this weekend? Straightliner, NHRA, Maple Grove.
Maple Grove Raceway.
Reading.
That's right.
Yep.
That is this weekend.
That is insanity racing.
It's kind of sad, though, because the season's winding down. All these big events at the end of the season here are always great to go to, but
you got, man, you got close. Have deep pockets if you want to do all that this weekend.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And then.
October, Williams Grove's running Twin 20.
Mm-hmm.
This is only, they announced Saturday. I don't think that's going to do well.
No? Why is that?
It's after two nights of racing at the Grove. Those guys are going to be worn out.
Might be used up.
Give out. What do you got?
Where at?
Grove.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's not going to be much there.
Might be a tough pull.
Yeah.
Might be a tough pull.
Yep. I mean, I hope it works, but I don't think they're going to get free. We'll have to wait. And then we're talking about Syracuse. Then we're also talking about the short track nationals.
Short track nationals are Friday and Saturday, October 11th and 12th. We hope to get day one here.
Next Saturday. Next Tuesday.
We got to chat with him, see what he's got going on, let him plug his sponsor a little bit. Brad has an unbelievable ability to get some major league backing for his venues. It's pretty cool. And the Short Track Super Nationals are certainly no different. Pioneer Pole Buildings is on board, BP Racing Fuels, just a whole host of people. That, and there's so many incentives throughout the field, too, with halfway bonuses, lap money.
We got lap money up. Lap 20.
Cool. Nice.
Wow. That's right.
Dale threw that out at me, but first year he brought it back to Fomal Point. You know? We had him on another show, and he told me that on the air. I didn't know it was coming.
It's quite an honor.
It's quite an honor. I was really proud of that, you know?
You should be.
So hats off to Dale. And hats off to the guys at Fomal Point for keeping my dad's name alive on the side of the face car. Really appreciate that. They're standing up. The old man be proud of me, I think. You know? Hey, and then after Syracuse, we got to rest up. And it's Eastern State.
Eastern State.
The house that Hearns built. The Middletown, New York. The heart. Lisbourne Avenue. You want more?
I was just letting you go with it. I was just letting you go.
Lenny Senior and Mellon's playing a bar behind there one year. I'll never forget it. So, but yep, we got. This week you heard his full, which is actually it's what is it called? The Outlaw 200. I don't care what anybody says. It's still the
Victoria.
Some
old habits are hard to break.
Yeah. Yep. Some guy named. That guy won 700 wins.
Forget his name.
Out of them 700, I think six of them are.
He has a, yeah, he has a pile of them. He
dominates
that.
Six of them.
76er
wins. I think six of them. You got like a race of champions.
Unbelievable.
I got some outline. I just want my bonkers. That house guy's pretty incredible. Oh, he's got some Syracuse. There, that's better. So he's pretty impressive, that Billy Pouch. You know? So I like that. So wow. We blew through those results. Oh,
yeah,
Fort Worth's got a show. Second annual blue collar class. Ooh, they got late models, 305 sprinters, pro styles, top, and then dirt.
And then back.
Hey, don't forget about our good friends down at New Egypt Speedway. They got a race on Thursday night.
What, are we doing that or no?
$10,000 to win. I think we should go down.
I think we should too. I don't know what time Whippy can get off of work, but 3:30. Well, we can still do it, I guess.
We'll make it happen.
Hey, listen.
The downside is we got to see Nick Leach.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, we swing that, yeah, with Nick and everything. I could do that.
All right.
Because I got the Nationals, I got rent money coming up. Man, I got a tough week.
Plus, the way your computer's going, we might have to buy you a new computer yet, too.
Yeah. Pay rent or go to the Nationals.
Yeah, you're going to go to the Nationals. Yeah. You're going to the Nationals.
You know? I'll get some of that money. Right?
Yeah. Hey, like we said, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we do have 24-year-old Brian Clausen. It says 24 here, but he's 23 or 24. He's young.
He's young. Oh, he's just 24. Come on, lucky.
So we're very excited to get him dialed up, get him on at the 9 o'clock hour. Whippy and I and Scotty was nice enough to compile all of our results as he does every week, and he compiled this really nice deal with all of Clausen's accomplishments. And he's done more at the age of 24 than what most people do in a lifetime. It is just unbelievable. And we will definitely get to talk to him about that. You know, it starts all the way back there in 1998 when he won the California State Quarter Midget Championship. So, and then it just goes on from there. And the accolades, second to none. Very impressive stuff. So what we're going to do right now is, since we blasted through the first hour of results here, we're going to take a brief break. We're going to sell some product here right now. And we'll be back in a few short moments with a good friend, Mr. Brian Clausen. So please hang tight.
Please answer the phone.
Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt, friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117 or visit them on the web at www.diamonddisposalllc.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117. For 26 years, Joe Adams Lettering LLC has been providing graphics and lettering to a large base of clientele throughout the United States, and even as far away as St. Martin's, Netherlands Antilles. Services include signs, truck lettering, race car lettering, logo design, and much, much more. Joe Adams Lettering LLC is the graphic provider of choice for many of the local schools, churches, athletic departments, racetracks, and promoters alike. Our friendly service and attention to detail ensures that our clients are receiving the finished product that they want, need, and desire. Starting a company and need to get recognized? We have full branding capabilities, from logo concepts to the finished product, placed right on your sign, company truck, van, letterhead, and business cards. All done right here, in-house, at our Bechtelsville facility. Joe Adams Lettering LLC custom designing capabilities set you apart from the competition. We provide custom t-shirt artwork, banners, yard signs, magnetic signs, billboards, and much, much more. Take advantage of our full printing capabilities and get noticed. From small window decals to full wraps, we got you covered. Give us a call at 484-638-0931. Or you can check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Joe Adams Lettering LLC and like us so you can keep up with some of the latest happenings. Look for our logo on the side of a race car at a local track near you. And remember, love the A, and the A will love you back. Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
Hey, hey, everybody, this is your old pal Clarence on behalf of Low Down and Dirty. We're going to be talking about some wings tonight here from the Wingman Bar and Grill, located over here in East Greenville, Pennsylvania. The Wingman Bar and Grill serves the freshest, mild, hot, suicide, and tough guy wings if you can handle them. They also have a nice menu of hot and cold subs, pizza, wraps, and panini. The Wingman also has 12 beers on tap and a large selection of cold takeout beer. In addition to the fine eat-in dining experience, a large takeout menu, a wide assortment of beers on tap, the Wingman Bar and Grill also holds special events and entertainment such as Texas Hold'em Poker, trivia, karaoke, and from time to time they even have some live bands. Take advantage of Wingman's outdoor seating for the summer. Enjoy the summertime. The restaurant and bar open daily from 11:30 a.m. on up and about to 2 a.m. and a bar menu be available at the 10 p.m. So be sure to check out their website for weekly chef specials. You can find them at the web at www.wingmanbarandgrill.com. You can also find them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Wingman Bar and Grill. The Wingman Bar and Grill has been voted best wings in Philly for 4 years in a row. Also voted best burger in 2010. For takeout service, call in your order at area code 267-923-5067. Stop on by and bring some friends and make a night of it. The Wingman Bar and Grill is located at the shops in Upper Hanover and downtown East Greenville, PA. Stop on in. Clarence will be over there eating some wings and chowing down. Grab a beer and have some fun. Let's all go to the Wingman in East Greenville.
I heard that.
And welcome back to the latest edition of Lowdown and Dirty. We're going to take a few minutes here to talk about Brett Deo's show going on here and hopefully get Whip's headset all squared away. How you doing, buddy? You doing okay?
That's bad. We're doing all right.
We're doing good.
Better than what it was.
So, as we talked about before, 50 laps, $5,000 plus to win. Here's what's impressive, too. $455 to take the green.
That's short track money. Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of money.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is a Dale gig, man, if I'm out point.
Yep.
So, This is huge.
It is huge. And don't forget, you know, Friday, October 11th, the Sportsman, the Open and Crate 602 will be racing for 30 laps for $1,500 to win, $100 to start. So that's the precursor to the big one. So it's a big racing weekend up there.
So who's going to be there, Whip? Who do you think is going to be there?
Oh, I would say Friesen. I know Billy Pouch. Go
mm-hmm.
down. Frank Cozy. I believe Mad Miller. I want to say Von Dorn. Howard is there. Howard's a defending. He's won
yeah.
before.
Yep.
Billy Pouch Jr. You'll get Mike Cozy. You'll get Brian Wheeler. You'll get Bobby Barrett.
So I'll be there.
Last year you had 78.
Just got the black book out. Coming through the black book. It's all good.
78
cards. 67.
24 Forstander and 30 Street.
Very nice.
And Broadway's for her and Lawrence.
That week. Last year. So.
Feedback. So, yeah. Dale's done a good job with the Bummel. He put Bummel Point back up now. Harpel's doing a good job with it.
Yeah, he is.
Facilities is nice. Money into it.
Hmm?
It's great to see a race like this. Everybody used to always say, Syracuse is going to race.
Oh, yeah.
Right here. Exactly. It was like, we're going to get Syracuse.
No. Well, Brett did. Just some tidbits of information about the Short Track Super National 6th edition. The pit gates open at 2 o'clock. Grandstand gates open at 3. Street stock and four-cylinder hot laps are at 4. Street stock and four-cylinder heats are 4:45. Modified hot laps are at 5:45. Modified heats start at 6:30. So that gives those guys that are a little further north a chance to get down there and compete with that. Saturday's grandstand admission is just $19. Senior 62 and over and students age 13 to 17
7
is 15.
15.
Kids 12 and under are free. Pit admission is 30 with any track series or license. And it's $35 without any track series or license. So, oh, and they also have the family five-pack. I forgot that they were doing this. Two adult tickets, two senior student tickets, five hot dogs, and five sodas for $45.
Five track dogs.
The family five-pack. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so, I can't wait. I'm headed home.
Yeah, that's home for
headed
you, buddy.
Headed home, man.
So, as always, David does a good job with that. We wish him much success.
Yep. And we got to give a little plug to, because that Sunday, the 13th, is the final show at Champion Speedway for those maniac Speedway bike riders.
They are maniacs. We had the pleasure of
interviewing
them, what, about 3 months ago?
3 months ago?
Yep. Jason Bunn Sr., Tough McBride, Jesse Deem.
Jesse Deem. Good people.
Mm-hmm. So, it was much better.
So what we're going to do now, we tested out Whippy's headset here a little bit. I think we're going to be okay, and we're going to go to break again. And when we come back, we're going to have Brian Clausen right here in the 9 o'clock hour. He's got a lot of things to talk about. Whippy's all jacked up and excited, and I'm going to give Whippy my headset. So I'm done for the night. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll stay tuned. We'll be right back in a few short moments.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, folks, we're back. Slow down to 30. This is a big honor for us here. Getting ready to come on the show with us for the first time is Indianapolis 500, USAC Sprint Car, Midget, Silver Crown, Mr. Brian Clausen. How you doing, Brian?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good. Thank you for coming on. Hey, so far, season so far, I mean, you're having a pretty good year so far.
Yeah, I can't complain. Tied my highest win total of my career last Saturday night. Got 21 midget sprint car wins on the year, and it's been good. Leading the sprint car points, and obviously and sitting second in the midget. So. It hasn't been too bad, and still got the stretch run to go here, so hopefully we can pick off a few more wins and hold on to the championship.
Yeah, now you bring up the points, the sprint car points. It was down pretty low margin there last week, down to a couple, right? Just a handful?
Yeah, it was down to two, and we've kind of been going back and forth all year. It's just about the time we get the lead, we have some sort of issue, and kind of, the same for Dave in some sense, and we've kind of been fighting each other all year long, but it was a big weekend for us going down to Lawrenceburg and setting quick time and winning the feature, so I was able to kind of maximize the night there and able to put a little bit of distance. 13 isn't near enough distance,
no.
But it's better than two, I guess, going out west.
Now, you guys are going to have a little bit of a break here, and I think you don't run till the end of the month, right?
Yeah, correct. Our next USAC National Sprint Car Race is October 26th and 27th, or it might be 25th and 26th, but out in Arizona, and then we follow it up the following weekend with Oval Nationals, which is the final first car race of the season for us. So, but we're not sitting idle. We got the Gold Crown in St. Louis, a big midget race this weekend, and then we kind of got a few races sprinkled in before we head out west.
Hey, when you wheel into Lawrenceburg, do you got to get jacked up for that? Is that like an Eldora Speedway type of track?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for myself, it's a little bit tougher than Eldora for me. You got a big it races like a half mile, but you're kind of confined to quarter mile limit, or it's a 3/8, I guess. But you got the room of a short track, but you're going as fast as a half mile, so it can get hairy in a hurry. But we were fortunate enough; our Chevrolet Performance car was really strong the other night, and we were able to pick our way from sixth and get to the lead and hang on.
Now back when was the East Coast Swing? In June.
June.
The best race probably most of us on the East Coast, if you were at Grandview Speedway that night, was that race that you guys put on at Grandview Speedway.
Yeah, it was. I wish it was a little bit longer. It was already 40 laps, but we didn't qualify very well, but we were able to run from I think we started 13th or 14th, and I got to second there and was kind of putting the pressure on Darren. Just kind of ran out of time. You know, we had a really good car, but he was just strong enough to hold us off. So I think if we had 5 or 10 more laps, we might have had a shot at him, but. We did everything we could about the time we got to when we hit traffic and made it difficult to make a move on them. But it was a lot of fun. And Grandview is a place that I've always not only enjoyed but ran well at. I think I've been there 4 times now and have won twice, ran second once, and then had some issues the other time. But it's always a place that I enjoy going to. And Eastern Swing is one of our favorite times of the year. Fans out in Pennsylvania and the East Coast are always always really fun to have and bring a lot of energy to our shows.
Yeah, I think we all love it. It's proof by how they pack the places. I mean, the tracks get packed. They love to see you guys come in. We know that night. I mean, you were using up all the racetrack. I mean, you guys were up against the wall. Some guys were catfishing on the bottom, and it was just a very enjoyable evening. But now you talk fondly about Grandview, but what is your favorite track out of all the USAC events that you get to in a year's time?
My favorite place is probably right here in our own backyard, Kokomo Speedway. It's a place I grew up at, a place that really races similarly to Grandview. You know, it's a tight quarter mile, but we use all the racetrack. Usually every night we run, you got a guy that's clipping the infield tires with his left front, and you got a guy that's knocking the fence down with his right rear. So it's always a lot of fun to go there, but that's probably, if I had to pick a favorite track or a place to run, one place to run the rest of my life, I'd pick Kokomo Speedway.
Whippy and I have both been there, and we can contest to what Brian is saying here. They use all the racetrack up there, and if the guys are running the top, there's 2 or 3 guys right below them running in between, and multi groove. It sets the definition of multi groove, that racetrack.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a place that's why it's a lot of fun for us drivers. You can usually, if you search around long enough, you can usually find somewhere your car is going to work. And there's usually 4 or 5 grooves out there to choose from. So, it's a lot of fun, and it's who can find it first, and, makes for some great racing. I think, over the last 2 years, I've won from 13th, 14th, and 19th there, in different points of the season. So any place you can do that multiple times is it's a special racetrack for sure.
Yeah. Now, hey, what was it like to get that phone call from that Tony Stewart guy to say, hey, I want to drive your car?
It's pretty cool. I've known Tony for a long time, and before I had come back, I went down south and did some stock car stuff and knew him, and then came back and been bugging him for a long time to get to drive his race cars. It's obviously the premier ride in what we do, and fortunately got the opportunity to drive a sprint car. I ran a Silver Crown car a couple years ago, and got the opportunity to drive a sprint car this year, and so far so good. Hopefully we can finish it off.
Well, we were just talking before you came on about how old you are. 24 years old, right?
Correct.
The things you have done for a 24-year-old is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's...
Do you pinch yourself and go, is this real?
Sometimes. I mean, I've been pretty fortunate to do... a lot of things that people, you know, only get to dream about, and I've been fortunate to get a lot of opportunities, and it's been a lot of fun. But I'm thankful each and every day for every opportunity that I get, and I'm happy doing what I'm doing, but having the opportunity to try some of those. Things like starting the Indy 500 and mm-hmm. Running NASCAR Nationwide Series and things like that. It's something that can never be taken away, and something that I feel fortunate to have had the opportunity to do.
Absolutely. Now, please tell us you're not going to adventure off the NASCAR. To watch you race a four-time sprint, even a midget or a silver, it's just a joy, and it's just. I mean, it'd be a loss for us if you would go NASCAR race.
Well, obviously, I'm not actively searching right now. If the opportunity came along, you're a fool to turn it down. But I'm in a pretty good place in where I'm at in life and in my career and. Enjoying what I'm doing, so just taking it a day at a time and seeing what comes.
Well, I think Whippy really, if you do get that opportunity, he wants you to turn it down for all sprint car fans in the world,
Yeah.
I think
he
just wants you to turn it down. So
I mean, I've watched, I've seen some guys go. Steve Kinzer tried it. He came back. I mean, go give it a shot.
Talking about that deal. I mean, you were with Chip Ganassi, all right, and Chip, he always it marvels me to hear him interviewed because he seems so cool. He's just like, he just comes across as, yeah, I got the world by the balls and I know it, and I just want to know what kind of guy is he to sit across the table from and talk to?
About like that. Chip,
that's good.
Chip was a great, gave me a lot of great opportunities, and I think some of it, because of his personality and things like that, it was a little overwhelming at 17, 18 years old, of not really knowing what I'm doing in this. In the business and having a guy like Chip that's has such a persona and a way of controlling the room, it was definitely tough, and I maybe wish I was a little older to have handled it maybe better. Chip was a great guy and obviously not only with myself but continues to give short track racers opportunities, and he obviously taking Larson down there and doing what he's done with him, he understands what we have here on the dirt track side of things, and he puts a lot of value into it.
Yeah, you bring up a point about Larson, and there's guys like Christopher Bell out there. There's a lot of good racers coming up.
Yeah, the talent level. At the short track ring, especially at this point in time, is huge because you haven't had really the there was kind of a trend there for a while. If anybody was any good or showed any promise, they got kind of sucked into the pipeline of NASCAR and their development deals and their short track racing got kind of cut off a little bit. But, you know, nowadays, you know, over the last few years, it's kind of been slim pickings as far as the opportunities down in Charlotte. So, you know, even the good young kids have had to sit back and develop and get better at the short track level. And I think they're seeing that. There's a major influx in short track talent right now.
Now, is your family, like, do they travel with you all the time?
My dad gets to most of the races, but usually it's me and Chevy and my girlfriend Lauren. We just pick up on the road and head out.
Wow. That's living at 24 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a great picture of him walking through the gates at Kokomo. With Chevy dragging him through. Not dragging, because Chevy's really small. But, I mean, you know, wanting to drag him through.
Chevy runs the show. Don't let anybody fool you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Now, what's the goal for, like, okay, now, did you sign a multi-year deal with Tony, or is it a one-year-at-a-time deal with that?
We generally take things kind of year-to-year, but, you know, everything's kind of gone this well, and we're working on trying to come back next year. So we're still kind of hashing everything out, but I'm really proud of where we've come from as a team at the beginning of the year, and even when we were down in Pennsylvania, you know, we won the Eastern Storm points and things like that. Yep. But if you were to take where we were at then and where we're at now, we're 300 times better than what we were back in June, it was Tony Stewart Racing and Chevrolet Performance back on the car, but it was a completely different race team than what they've had in the last few years with Levi, and brought in Bob East and Beast Chassis and had brand new race cars, brand new chassis, just kind of all new group of people just trying to kind of figure out what we need to do to win. And so really happy with how everything's gone, and hope that hope to be back and the plan to be back next year.
Good.
Yeah. Well, it takes time for all that to gel and come together.
Yeah.
When you
pointed it out to me. I mean, you guys were like pretty quick right out of the box down at Bubba Speedway.
Yeah, you know, we were and probably kind of fooled ourselves a little bit. Honestly, we got off to a quick start out there, and then kind of came home and really, we were struggling for about a month there, and we really. Weather hurt us, you know, we didn't get a chance to go race and we were kind of learning on the fly, and it's a tough task to kind of jump into something brand new like that and compete night in and night out right out of the get-go. So, you know, it took us a month or two there to kind of get sorted, and even to this point, we're still getting better each and every night. But we've finally reached a level where we feel like that we should have been performing at all year, and kind of what we expected when we got together.
Yeah. Now, what do you like better? Do you like the midget week, or do you like the 410 week? Speed week,
Sprint week.
Indiana.
Sprint week's probably my favorite week.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain, especially if you haven't been there.
Uh-huh.
You just everything ratchets up about three or four notches, and this year we had probably 45, 50 cars on average, it's a week that tests you mentally, physically, emotionally. It tests the cars. You know, it's a long week of racing, and a lot of things can happen. So, it's a team for sure.
Well, I've been out to midget and 410 speed weeks, and it's an incredible.
Yeah, I've only been out to the sprint speed week.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I've only been out to the sprint speed weeks, and you're right. I mean, it seems like everything gets ratcheted up a notch.
Yeah, it's I don't know why. Honestly, I mean, obviously it's a week of racing, and there's points and money on the line and prestige, but winning a USAC race isn't anything to sneeze at. It's just a normal one. But you go to Indiana Sprint Week, and maybe it's because there's more local participation. You got the guys that come in from out west, but for some reason there's that week is a lot of fun and a lot of stress.
Yeah. Yeah, you even get a guy or two coming in from PA. You know, Mark Smith came. Mark Smith from Sunbury, right?
Sunbury, yeah.
Sunbury. He came out there, and we caught up with him at Gas City, and we're talking with him because, of course, he's a local guy, and it's like you look him straight in the eye, and you start talking about the deal he's doing here out in Indiana, and he just lights up. I mean, he is just on fire for wingless sprint cars.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun, and actually, I've gotten kind of I'm kind of in the opposite realm, and that I've kind of dipped my toe in doing the wing stuff, and I've really enjoyed doing that. But it's hard to beat a non-wing car, man. It's hard to beat it.
Thank you.
We are so starved for wingless racing out here.
We're starving for wing. What'd you think of that crutch on top of that 410?
I've enjoyed it. It's different, and it's a challenge each and every night. Trying to learn and get better, and actually was able to win a race at Jacksonville a couple weeks ago, and a close race with you mentioned earlier, Chris Bell. So was a lot of fun battling with him. But it's something new, something that kind of changes things up a little bit. You know, I still love my wingless racing, but there's things I can learn in the wing car that'll make me better. So always trying to be a student of the sport and continue to get better each and every year. If running the wing car a little bit does it, then I'm in.
Well, hey, this weekend out here at Williams Grove, it's the Williams Grove World of Outlaw Nationals. It's paying $50,000 to win.
Well, I don't think I'm quite ready for that yet.
But, come on.
I'd like to get a few more races in and come out and run out your way a little bit, whether early next year or at some point. So we'll see when that comes around.
Hey, Casey Kane got a Williams Grove season opener win under his belt.
There you go.
Yeah.
But we've also seen Casey leave turn four.
We've seen him leave turn four also, you know. So he's had good and bad. So, I mean, is it Indy this year again, you think? Next year, 24, you know, for next year, you think you'll get another shot at Indy? I mean, that had to be a rush.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And obviously, growing up here was something that I dreamed of and always had hoped to do and was fortunate enough to get the opportunity. And, we're going to try. We were really close to getting back last year for one reason or another, the pieces just didn't end up fitting together. So we'll start from scratch again and see if we can make it fit.
It's got to be intimidating going down that front straightaway.
It's crazy. When you fill that place up, it looks completely different than it does when you're out there practicing or qualifying even.
Mm-hmm.
You fill the place up and put people on both sides. It makes it awfully narrow looking down into turn one.
Is it the most intimidating, most awesome place you run at, is there something else that comes to your mind that's a step above Indianapolis?
No, it's probably the most intimidating thing I've ever done. it's Indianapolis. You know, you're doing 230 mile an hour into turn one. It's not anything to sneeze at. But we had a great month and I was fortunate enough to be with some great people during the month of May and had a lot of fun.
Now, if you would do that deal, do you have to basically end up giving up the USAC points race for sprint cars or midgets? Does it take up that much time?
Yeah, I mean, you're committed for the whole month, obviously. And I think in 2012 when I did it, I missed three races. I believe three races for the month of May, and was able to overcome that and win the points still, but it's kind of not the norm. You know, it's hard to make up it's hard to win the sprint championship without missing any races. So, you know, we had a phenomenal year last year and was able to do that. But you pretty much give up at least, two or three races.
Yeah. Now, can you explain to us why Indiana is the mecca of sprint car non-wing racing?
To be honest, I don't know. I know why it is now, obviously, because we have, so many different racetracks and things like that that run in great facilities. But, I don't know how it really got to be that way. Illinois' wing, Ohio's wing, reason, or Michigan's wing, for some reason we just took them off, I guess. It's a lot of fun and we have great facilities over here. You can race three nights a week all summer long if you want to. And most weeks during the summer, there's a fourth somewhere you can sneak in. So, a lot of fun and a great place for to go learn your craft.
Now you bring up that point, it's a great place to learn your craft. As a kid, you moved out of California, I guess, based on your dad getting a job in Indiana. Is that right? And you were fortunate enough to actually get placed right in the mecca.
Yeah, we had, and some of that was not really by design in that. At 9 years old, my dad didn't decide to move to Indiana because it was non-wing sprint car country. But,
right.
Of the places that he had to choose from for his job, Indiana was obviously the most racing oriented of it. And we'd been around racing my whole life and his whole life, he grew up racing. So, obviously that was kind of the allure of Indiana and it obviously worked out. But, the great thing for a young guy is, you can go to these places on a weekly basis and on most nights you've got USAC national caliber guys there. You go on any off Friday night, you got Dave Darling at Gas City or John Stambro down in Bloomington. So you can go down there and learn your craft from the best.
I would have never thought a 410 sprint car could get around Bloomington, Indiana Speedway when I first seen it.
It's tight.
Because of the size of it.
The size and everything. I'm like, they're going to run 410s on this thing? But once you watched Hot Laps and everything, it was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Bloomington's a lot of fun. It's a place. That's really there and Kokomo were the two places I kind of cut my teeth. And that was back before Kokomo. That was old Kokomo when I was that young. But you go back, even though I'm only 24, you're going back 10 or 11 years to us.
That's
barely 14.
Yeah.
Barely 14 when I started running. But, Bloomington and Kokomo on Sundays. Bloomington on Fridays, Kokomo on Sundays is kind of where I got my start.
I mean, that's what we're talking about this earlier. It's like we've heard your name for so many years, and then we're like, dude, he's only 24.
Yeah, it doesn't seem possible. Is that a mistake?
I get that a lot, I guess, and it's not necessarily that people don't believe I'm 24, but people just I've been around for a while, and kind of like you said, heard the name for so long that if they were to guess, they would have guessed a whole lot older than 24.
Yep. Hey, do you are you on a fitness program or anything like that? What do you do for like a workout or anything? Or does Chevy take you for walks?
I chase Chevy. there's a little bit of time in the off season where we're off and you can get a little fitness in, but honestly, when you're racing 120 times a year, you just kind of take a break when you're not racing, and when you are racing, you're in race shape because anymore we don't stop. We get done at Thanksgiving. USAC season's done at Thanksgiving, obviously Turkey Night, and then from there we come back home. We have an indoor race the following weekend, first weekend of December, and second weekend of December, I get on a plane and head to New Zealand for a month and race over there, come back, do Chili Bowl, head back over to Australia for a couple of weeks, come back, and it's February, and we're ready for the start of the USAC season again. So, you know, you never really get out of race shape anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What a life. What a life,
yeah.
Whip, huh? What do you think?
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. Hey, what what do you do for, what do you eat? I mean, are you just like, do you live on track food?
when I'm home, we try and cook around the house as much as we can. Cause, you know, we eat out a lot, when we're on the road. And, but when we're over in New Zealand, I got a family that I drive for over there. They have us over some nights and cook for it. You know, we don't necessarily eat out all the time, but when we're home, we try and
it's just
cook as much
as we can. It's like you're at the track all the time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when we were in Indiana for that week, you know, during Speed Week, it's like, man, if I'd eat like this every night, I'd be 400 pounds, you know.
Yeah, you definitely have to, obviously watch it a little bit, but I can't eat at the racetrack because I get nervous. So, still, even 10 years into this deal, I don't know if nervous is the word, but I can't eat. I don't like to eat until afterwards. So,
we'll talk. Just traveling down that path a little bit further. You have any superstitions once you get to the racetrack?
Superstitions are always. I think it's kind of. I don't know. I am superstitious, but normally you don't look for them until something goes wrong, and you're like, "Wait, what happened? Was I wearing something green, or did I? You know, did I have a $50 bill in my pocket? Did I? You know, there's all kinds of different ones. And
did somebody bring back peanuts into the pits or something? What's going on?
Yeah,
here,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. More recently, it seems like every time I have a bad night, my girlfriend has a number 6 on the end of her pit pass. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different stuff. And obviously, I'm pretty stuck to the no green, no peanut, no $50 bills. Those are the three I live by.
There you go. Yeah.
Jesus. Hey, any desire to drive anything different? Like on the dirt circuit, like a dirt late model or a modified, a Northeast modified.
I'd like to learn to run a late model because they race for a lot of money.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
There's a
but,
big show. Go ahead.
I'm always interested in different, you know, types of race cars and things like that, and I don't think there's anything that I would want to switch to full time, but I'm always up for learning new things.
How come no one gave you a truck ride?
Did you get offered any truck rides?
Honestly, there wasn't a whole lot. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of stuff out there. Most of them were, you know, you look at, you know, Kenny Wallace's deal and things like that. It was mostly sponsor driven. There was, you know, Bloomquist and Kyle are buddies from when they ran the prelude, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle was always the one of Bloomquist. You know, so it wasn't like they were handing out truck rides and I just cut.
Yeah, and Bloomquist was out to lunch early. I don't know what they were doing with that thing for that stuff.
No, he put some exotic stuff under there, you know.
What was he thinking?
Yeah.
So what do you tell your car owner now that he's all busted up? Does he come over to the shop and bug you?
Honestly, up until recently, I mean, he's still he's got been out and about a little bit more here lately.
Uh-huh.
So up until recently, he was stuck in Carolina, so he wasn't getting to do a whole lot. He was watching videos of all the races online. So, he's out and about more. He made the trip to Fremont last weekend. So, it's good to see him out and about. I know he gets a little stir crazy, anyways, even when he's not hurt. So, I can't imagine. He's probably going nuts.
Yeah, he's probably driving somebody crazy. That's for
and
sure.
And hey, you know, he has a late model now sitting in the garage somewhere.
He has a wing card too, and he won't let me drive that either.
No.
What's up with that?
Yeah, what's
tell
up
us,
with
tell
that?
Tell us about that.
Yeah, tell us about that.
That's his toys, you know. You know, most of his stuff is all, you know, it's all sponsored stuff and things like
right.
that. So I always rib him about it, but you know, he has a lot of fun with that stuff.
Because I was at Sealands Grove on Saturday night, and that's where he won in the 360s out there
earlier this year,
in the season. Yeah.
Yep. Dude, he won about everywhere he went this year. He was getting
Yeah, he was fast.
Hey, are you? Would you like to be on the bigger track, the half miles, or do you like the miles with the Silver Crown cars? You like that? Or
I'm a short track. I like short track.
Short track,
quarter mile, yeah.
Not into that big mile stuff. Did you? You didn't run Syracuse when the Silver Crown ran up there, did you?
No, I didn't.
No, that would have probably scared you to death.
Yeah, it scared me to death watching.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but you're not a fan of like Terre Haute and all that. They're too big. They're pretty big.
Oh, I don't necessarily dislike
right.
them. I had to choose. I'd pick quarter mile all day.
I mean, Terre Haute's got to be insane in a mission.
Well, we don't go there anymore, and I actually never. The last time they ran there, I had gotten hurt right before they went there, so I didn't end up making the event, but I never got to run a midget at Terre Haute, but I'm sure it was.
Yeah. So, you like running those midgets too? Because we got the ARDC midgets, and when you guys come to the east, we can never get USAC to hook up to them.
Yeah, I really enjoy the midgets. You know, it's I have my own midget team, and I've kind of ran that over the last 3 or 4 years, and they're a lot of fun. I enjoy them, and I've been successful at them. And, you know, they're different than a sprint car, but it's very similar. But there's some good. You get a midget on the right size track, and they're hard to beat for fun factor.
Yeah.
We talked to you about Chip a little bit. What about Tony? How's he to sit down across the table from and talk to?
He's a little easier too. Tony's a little bit more. He's my type of guy, I guess. You know, he's a racer. He gets it. He's probably the easiest boss in the world to have, because he just kind of lets you do your thing and just checks up on you, makes sure everything's going well, he gets it. He just lets everybody go and do their job, and he understands that because he's been in our shoes too. You know?
Right.
He knows.
Right.
He knows what it's like. So he just kind of he hired us for a reason, and. He lets us do our jobs.
Now, does he give you a call like every Tuesday, you know, and want to find out how the weekend went?
He checks in on us every now and then, but generally, honestly, mostly through text message anymore. You know, it's just, hey, how's it going? You know, good job last night. You know, whenever. You know, everything good? Yep. All right. Keep digging. It's pretty laid back. It's not nothing crazy.
Yeah. Out of all the races out there, what's the one race you want to win the most?
That's a tough one. I mean, obviously the easy answer is the Indy 500.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
On the dirt level, I don't know. I've been fortunate enough. Yeah, probably the Chili Bowl is what's left.
Yeah.
I didn't think you never got close to that one, right?
Yeah.
Me and Sammy about 3 years ago. We were battled for a long time before Kevin ended up getting by us, but so I wouldn't say we were far away. I've ran in the top 10 there the last 3 years, but it's been 2011 Chili Bowl would have been as close, maybe 2012. I can't keep up to which one's which, but We've been in the hunt, but obviously haven't got it done yet. So that'd be the one that's left.
Yeah, I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but to me, that's what you know. It pops out as a big one.
The golden driller.
The golden driller. Yeah.
Fortunately, I've been able to win a lot of the crown jewels, and obviously Chili Bowl is kind of the glaring hole, but you know, at the same time, mm-hmm. I think everybody kind of looks at that race a little bit differently, and that you know, it's not one that you necessarily have to have to feel like you know you made your mark. I guess you know, all the great. You know, a lot of the great midget drivers won Turkey Night. You know, a lot of the great drivers won, you know, Fourth Crown or Night Before the 500 or Belleville.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Chili Bowl is kind of the anomaly of the bunch that, you know, we all want to win it, but it's not.
Well, you got the Turkey Night, Don.
You got Belleville.
You got Belleville, Don. You got the Hut 100, Don. You got a bunch of them.
It's been a good career so far.
Belleville's got to probably be a pretty hairy one on a midget.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. It's just kind of wide open. You just go out there, and the later in Saturday, the sport separates the men from the boys, and as it gets closer and closer to the guardrail, so. It's a cool place and a place that hopefully survives. It's been tough over the last few years, but we got back this year where the car count was up a little bit, and took the Silver Crown cars there. I didn't get to run, but I got to watch, and that was a real neat event. Everybody really enjoyed it, so hopefully it starts the process of building Belleville back to what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, Brian, we're going to take a little bit of a break here. We want you to hang on the other side and finish up your time.
Hang out with us?
Perfect.
Cool. Yeah, okay. We're gonna take a little bit of a break here, sell some product, and we'll be back on the other side with Brian Clausen.
Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential and commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal serves the Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prompt friendly service, please give Diamond Disposal a call at 610-845-1117. Or visit them on the web at www.DiamondDisposalLLC.com. For all of our loyal listeners here at Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So give the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. And remember, don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal, 610-845-1117. For 26 years, Joe Adams Lettering, LLC has been providing graphics and lettering to a large base of clientele throughout the United States. For 26 years, Joe Adams Lettering, LLC has been providing graphics and lettering to a large base of clientele throughout the United States, and even as far away as St. Martin's, Netherlands Antilles. Services include signs, truck lettering, race car lettering, logo design, and much, much more. Joe Adams Lettering LLC is the graphic provider of choice for many of the local schools, churches, athletic departments, racetracks, and promoters alike. Our friendly service and attention to detail ensures that our clients are receiving the finished product that they want, need, and desire. Starting a company and need to get recognized? We have full branding capabilities, from logo concepts to the finished product. placed right on your sign, company truck, van, letterhead, and business cards. All done right here in-house at our Bechtelsville facility. Joe Adams Lettering LLC custom designing capabilities set you apart from the competition. We provide custom t-shirt artwork, banners, yard signs, magnetic signs, billboards, and much, much more. Take advantage of our full printing capabilities and get noticed. From small window decals to full wraps, we got you covered. Give us a call at 484-638-0931. Or you can check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Joe Adams Lettering LLC and like us so you can keep up with some of the latest happenings. Look for our logo on the side of a race car at a local track near you. And remember, love the A, and the A will love you back. Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
Hey, everybody, this is your old pal Clarence on behalf of Lowdown and Dirty. We're going to be talking about the wings tonight here from the Wingman Bar and Grill, located over here in East Greenville, Pennsylvania. The Wingman Bar and Grill serves the freshest, mild, hot, suicide, and tough guy wings if you can handle them. They also have a nice menu of hot and cold subs, pizza, wraps, and panini. The Wingman also has 12 beers on tap and a large selection of cold takeout beer. In addition to the fine eat-in dining experience, a large takeout menu, a wide assortment of beers on tap, the Wingman Bar and Grill also holds special events and entertainment such as Texas Hold'em Poker, trivia, karaoke, and from time to time they even have some live bands. Take advantage of Wingman's outdoor seating for the summer. Enjoy the summertime. The restaurant and bar open daily from 11:30 a.m. on up at about to 2 a.m. and a bar menu be available at the 10 p.m. So be sure to check out their website for weekly chef specials. You can find them at the web at www.wingmanbarandgrill.com. You can also find them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Wingman Bar and Grill. The Wingman Bar and Grill has been voted best wings in Philly for 4 years in a row. Also voted best burger in 2010. For takeout service, call in your order at area code 267-923-5067. Stop on by and bring some friends and make a night of it. The Wingman Bar and Grill is located at the shops in Upper Hanover and downtown East Greenville, PA. Stop on in. Clarence will be over there eating some wings and chowing down. Grab a beer and have some fun. Let's all go to the Wingman in East Greenville.
Okay, folks, we're back with Brian Clausen on the line. Whippy Whitman's with me. Yours truly, Scott Deal. We're going to finish up this interview with Brian. And Whip, you have a question for Brian?
Oh, yeah. Well, you got this coming weekend, you got the three nights at the Gold Crown Nationals. Just do you like just going to one track and just being there for three nights?
Yeah, it's a Gold Crown's actually a great event. It's kind of still in its infancy years, you know. And Granite City is another place that talking about great racetracks. You know, Granite City's, you know, since they've redone it, is a lot of fun to race and a great midget track. Still, probably one of the most intense races I've raced at was Gold Crown a couple of years ago. Buck Walter was out for it, and it was me, Buck Walter, I think Hagen, Brad. We were 50 laps. We just went at each other for like we hated each other, even though we really didn't have any problems with one another. But we just went at it, and it was a lot of fun. So great event and a very well-paying midget race for us. So we're excited for it, and it's one that obviously it's only happened a couple times, but I'd like to put my name on it.
Right. Well, we had Stevie on last week, and he said he's trying to work on a deal where he just might be able to come out and run with that USAC Midgets next year.
Nice. Well, yeah, that's, you know, we need guys like Stevie. He's a great midget driver, and you know, he comes out for Midget Week every year and does well and is right in the hunt. So he's a great, great competitor, so we're always looking for that.
Yeah, well, I think we just want to say thank you for coming on Low Down and Dirty. Good luck this weekend. And, bring home a championship, Gold Crown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you. Go ahead.
No, we just want to wish you luck the rest of the year. I mean, it's going to be a tight race here out to the end with that sprint car deal, and also Chase trying to chase Bell down and overtake him, and we wish you the best, and hope you keep it down the straightaway straight and upright in the turns, and bring some championships home.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and appreciate you guys having me on. It was a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Well, we'll love to have you on again. We
absolutely
really would. And we'll catch up with you at the races sometime for sure.
Sounds great. I appreciate it, guys.
All right,
everybody.
Thank
Brian
you very
Clausen,
much.
Brian great interview. I think we need to get Brian to clap. He was,
yeah, Brian gets
the
clap.
Brian gets the clap, and we'll be talking to him down the road for sure. What do you think, Whip? That was pretty awesome.
That was awesome. I was a little nervous, you know.
Well, you know.
But
he puts on his racing helmet just like you put on your racing helmet, right?
That's right. Yep, man of the cloth. You know,
man of the cloth. Yeah, you got that right.
Yep. Hey, we got Nationals open.
Yeah, I'm really charged up.
Here we go.
What do you think?
Pick me a winner Friday. Pick me a winner Saturday.
Okay, my sentimental winner for Friday, I think, is Ryan Smith. Okay.
Yep.
My sentimental favorite that I think for Saturday night would have to be Fast Freddie Raymer.
Mm-hmm.
Go out a winner.
Yeah.
You know, and bring one home for the posse. Okay, so that would be a sweep for the posse. Now, is that going to happen? So reality's got to kick in here now and say, all right, what's really going to happen? Well, one thing I really know that I don't want to happen.
Yeah, I think we both don't want that to happen. You know,
shots to sweep the weekend. That would be killer, you know?
Yeah, and it's happened.
Yes, it has, and I might have to get seriously polluted, you know, or something like that. You know,
yeah.
That wouldn't go over big, you know?
No, but, well,
what do you think?
I'll take Ryan Smith's a good one for Friday, but I'm going to take Leppo.
Hey, Leppo.
The Zemco number one.
There you go.
And Freddie would be great. But Lance DeWeese.
Lance DeWeese would be great. That would just set off their year. It's been tough on those guys. We know they're going to be breaking up at the end of this.
I mean, the storybook would be Freddie to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And say that's arrivederci.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
see you at Lincoln, you know.
See you at Lincoln, yeah.
Oh, well, he's got a couple points races at Williams Grove yet, you know,
right,
to try to recapture that.
Now, is this Nationals a point race?
Nationals, I do not think, are point races for...
For to grow.
For to
not
grow.
Not a point race for to grow.
No, I don't think so.
I would hope not.
No, but and they got 2 weeks after that. Yeah.
Right. And then right. you got the next big race would be the Victorian Fulton 200 at Fulton Speedway. Big block, small block modifieds.
There you go.
And Brett Hearn won it for the first time last year.
All right. What do you think this year? Who's got the hot hand?
I'm going with...
I know who you're going to go with. Go ahead.
Matt Shepard.
Matt Shepard, really?
Yep.
Oh.
I'm going with Matt Shepard.
I thought maybe you'd be going Stewie.
No.
I'm
going to take Matt Shepard.
Matt Shepard, okay.
Yep.
I think I'm taking Stewart.
Stewart Friesen.
Stewart Friesen. Yeah.
We'll see how our luck goes.
Yeah. But Mike Mahaney would be my sentimental
favorite. Mike Mahaney would be a sentimental win.
Yeah.
That'd be huge. Because
yeah.
I've seen his dad win the Victorian 200.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you come up with a year that is?
I want to say 1993.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have to look that up and see how close you got.
Yeah. So, but hey, next week.
But who won that show? Who won that?
The Victorian 200, Fulton Speedway 200 last year?
No. Consecutive wins. Or, no, wait, were they consecutive?
Yeah, he won five in a row.
Who am I thinking of?
That guy with 700 wins?
Guy with just got 700 wins?
Yeah, that guy from Frenchtown, New Jersey?
Yeah,
Billy
yeah.
Pouch?
Yeah.
Dude, they hated him. Think about this, though. He ran six races up there, never been to the place. Only shows up once a year, wins six times in a row.
How did he do that?
That's 60. Back then it was 10 grand to win. I think 1 year might have been 20. That's no flat tires, no racks, no. And it's not like he started up in the pole all the time. You know, I got some DVDs or TV videotapes.
Yeah,
so you got VCR.
Yeah, it's the only reason why you keep a VCR around, right?
Yeah. So, but hey, next week with Brett Dale's Short Track Nationals coming up, we're gonna have a pretty cool show. We're going to have Mr. Mike Colstein. He's battled through some health issues. He's just an unbelievable story, and he won the France Championship at 5 Mile Point Speedway.
It is an interesting story.
It's an inspirational story.
Inspirational.
And Mr. Colstein and my dad were tight. So
yeah.
This is going to be cool for me next week.
Yeah. So we're gonna try to drag him out next week. Hopefully that all works out. Tentatively, also we'd like to have Brett on at the same time.
Yep, and have Mr. Dale on for his short track. So, and the following week, we're gonna try to get Mr. Hartman,
right,
from Pencan.
Right.
That's tentative schedule unless someone jumps the gun on us.
Well,
you know,
if it happens.
It happens. It happens. You know, but dude, what we did tonight,
you can feel good about that one.
Good about that one. I hope you people enjoyed that one.
We hope you did.
Because that was just a different side. It was a lighter side of him. He wasn't.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know you and I enjoyed it. That was,
mm-hmm.
I mean, guys like you and me that love wingless sprint car racing, you know, right there is the epitome of the sport. A guy like Clausen. If you've never seen him run, get to the Eastern Storm. If you can't get to Indiana, get to one of the Eastern Storm shows. And just see what he can do with a 410 wingless sprint car. It's just amazing. And
we need to keep him in there. We don't need NASCAR to take him away.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So, I'm sorry. I mean, go for it if it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, don't go away on us.
Joey's going to come on here for a second. He's got something
to do. Hey, welcome back. Schmoozing with the crowd, bro.
Joey's a little bit under the weather today. I mean, he said, I'll stay around for the first part of the show, but can I have the second part of the show off?
I didn't ask. Yes, I get paid for the second half. You got to be better at negotiating your contract, son.
What?
I didn't ask you to take off the second half. I told you. There's a difference.
Oh, he told me.
I told you.
He told me he was taking the second half off, you know?
How was the Brian Clausen interview?
What's that?
How was the Brian Clausen interview?
It rocked. I mean, if you
sounded
want to know.
Sounded great. We were listening to it out on the deck. Sounded good.
Oh, were you out there?
I had it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Jackie,
our owner here, fixed me up with her laptop there. We were able to listen in. Did a great job.
Well, I thought it went great. What did you think from your standpoint? You really thought it was okay?
Well, the hosts need a little work. I thought the guest was awesome.
The guest was awesome, you know.
Yeah, the guest was great. So I guess that's going to conclude this latest edition of Lowdown and Dirty.
Yeah, and we apologize for the little bit of
I come to find out that there was a bad computer connection here, I've been told. And just flat out a bad computer.
Yeah, there's a bad computer trying to rob, suck the life out of us, right?
Much as you do to me on a weekly basis.
I suck the life out of rooms, you know?
Yeah, you do. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But, hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in again. I appreciate everybody stopped by here at the Bandits Public House and Inn and checked us out. We'll be back next week. Thank you, Whippy, for doing a good job tonight. You rocked the interview, bro. What did they say? No.
You the man.
You the man. They just call you Whippy. That's right.
Yeah.
We're going to work on some guests for next week. Maybe we can have Dale on. And
we already covered it.
You already covered it?
Yep. We already covered it.
Very good. So we will be back here next week live again at 8:05. What is the venue going to be, Scotty D?
I don't know. I guess we have to...
2 weeks, big special night. We're going to have a big special night. Yes, we do have a famous late model owner here this evening, and I'm going to keep him nameless because there is some big news coming out of that stable for 2014, so we're going to get him and his...
Can you give us the car number?
No. Nope. No car number. Nope. Tell you one thing, though. The guy's a little crazy, if you ask me. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Guys, it's a little crazy.
Okay,
but,
let's wrap this up, Joey.
We appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll see you all next week live at 8:05. Thank you so much, and we wish everybody a great night and have a great week. Take care.
And World Finals.